Greetings from the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. We are thrilled you could join us for another message from God's Word with my dad, Pastor Salem. We received a wonderful note about prayer from a viewer in Kansas. It reads, "My son recently accepted Jesus and we are now enjoying your services together. All of my years of prayers have been answered. Thank you for your program. If you would like our team to pray for you, simply go to our website at cwh.org and submit your request on our encouragement tab. Or you may call our staff to pray with you. Our team is committed to lift you up in prayer. Now, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and join my dad for his message on Take Time to Pray. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a good sermon today because we're going to talk about prayer. And everybody's interested in prayer. And a lot of people have questions about prayer. So we're going to have a whole sermon on how to pray, or take time to pray. And I just know you're going to be blessed. But first of all, we want to read Psalm 145, verses 17 to 21. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." And Lord in heaven, that's what we're praying, that all creation will bless you and worship you. And we pray that on the Christian Worship Hour, we'll bring hearts to you, Lord, people that will receive you for the first time, and others who have troubles and trials in life, and they come to you, and you bless and you help all who come to you in faith believing. So bless this service and use it to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Jan is going to sing a song. I know you'll like it. I will praise him. God bless you, Jan. Thank you, Jan. I will praise him. Let me tell you something about that song. We used to sing that song when I went to Bible school in 1940, 77 years ago. And that song is as beautiful today as it was then. They just never wear out. I will praise him. And every way we look, we can see ways to praise Jesus. We praise him, you know, for going to the cross. We praise him for the resurrection. We praise him for saving our soul. We praise him at the throne of God. And when we get to heaven, we're going to praise his name. Oh, thank you for that song and all the memories. Well, we've got some letters to read, and we appreciate them so much. We read every one we get, and we answer all those that have a spiritual question. And we just want to thank you for writing. And when many of you send gifts when you write, and that we appreciate that, because we have to have some help to carry on. So we're looking to you, trusting you. But let's look at some of these letters. And by the way, our Bible study, our Bible reading today will be Hebrews chapter 11. For those who are gathered in your homes and you worship with us, you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. But the first one is from Knoxville, Iowa. And this lady writes, "My mother and I have been watching you for several months and so enjoy your sermons. We are so down to earth and say it like it is. We really like that. Mother will be turn 93 next month, and she wanted you to know that we feel so much closer to the Lord since we've been listening to your services. And I can tell you that happens to everybody because we preach the Bible. It isn't anything we do that helps you get close to the Lord. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And our sermons are filled with prayers, and our songs are filled with the Scriptures, because that's where the power is. And I always tell these young pastors coming out, preach the Bible, because when you preach the Bible, you can preach with authority. You don't get up and say, it could be, or I hope so, or it might be, or all that. It says, thus saith the Lord, and it's settled. Oh, the wonderful Word of God. We thank God for it. Here is Deer Lodge, Montana. I am temporarily incarcerated in the Montana State Prison. I watch your program all the time on Sundays. I am a 62-year-old Mexican mafia member who, after 25 years, converted over to Christianity. I have found the Lord, and I get ridiculed because of it. The Lord has showed me his power, even though I'm in prison. Good things have happened to me in here. The Lord can save me. He's got the power to save anyone, even though I get a lot of flack and will not, for nothing in this mortal world, give up my faith in my Lord." Now, isn't that a beautiful story? And God, here's a mafia member. And so it doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter at all, because when you come to Jesus and you open your heart to the Savior, he washes away those sins. And it says, you know, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And he has the grace to cover all of our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you and make you pure. Oh, that is so wonderful. And now we just pray for this man, because he's witnessing for the Lord. He's telling others about Jesus. And here, I just would guess that there'll be people come to know Jesus because of this man's testimony. Praise God. Here's Dunedin, Florida. "Thank you for your years of service to the Lord. Don't change a thing. Your simple, down-to-earth sharing of God's word is so comforting to me. It's a family time of sharing, and you share God's love and grace with all who watch and listen. God bless you abundantly. I now have a deeper, closer relationship with Jesus. He is setting me free from fear. Praise God." That's all God's doings. It's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit applying it, and our fears are gone. And what does it say? The truth will set you free. If the truth shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And there are a lot of people that aren't in jail, but they're prisoners of fear or prejudice or some habit, and they're slaves to that. And the wonderful, glorious gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, will set you free if you'll just take Him into your heart. And then the Holy Spirit joins in your heart, and He will help you, and you can beat it. You can beat it with the Lord's help. You can't do it alone. Have to have the Lord, but He's willing and He's able. Let's see. Oh, here, I like this one. I like all of them, but just listen to this. Wasilla, Alaska. I was led to Jesus, as you, at the age of 9 years by my sister when she was 17 years old. But now that's not the whole story. Listen to this. I want to read it again. Don't want you to miss it. I was led to Jesus at the age of 9 years by my sister when she was 17 years old, but only 2 months old as a newly born again Christian. Here she is. She's been a Christian for 60 days and she leads her brother to Jesus. If that isn't beautiful, my dear Lord, if that isn't beautiful. And that's what we can all do. You say, well, I have to go to Bible school. I have to go to seminary. You don't have to go anywhere. If you have accepted Jesus, you just tell them what He's done for you. He's come into your heart and you're saved. And you have peace that you never had before. Now, maybe you had an emotional experience when you accepted Jesus. I don't know. I didn't. It was just a transaction. I asked Jesus to come into my heart and He came into my heart and saved me. And the next day I felt like all the sins of the world were off of my shoulder. But you don't have to have feeling. You might have and you might not. You just take God at His word. And when the Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas, the Philippian jailer says, what do I have to be saved? They said, call in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's it. Just ask Him to save you. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. I ask you, please come into my heart. Take away my sins and I'll follow you the best I can. I'll give you my life. Thank you, Jesus. That's all you need to do. Oh, it's wonderful. 260 days and she led her brother to the Lord. Well, let's see. Here's Ullam, Montana. God bless your message. The devil had me tricked that I couldn't be forgiven for all that I had done. Your message of the forgiveness of Christ really touched me. Thank you. And I want to tell you, the devil has tricked a lot of people. And he's made them think, well, you knew better and you did it anyway. So he won't forgive you. If you were ignorant of it and you didn't know any better, he'll forgive you. But if you knew and you did it anyway, you're a goner. Well, the big mouth is the goner, because if you call in the name of the Lord, and if you're a Christian and you drift away and you sin against light and you just come to Jesus and ask Him, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins and just take me back. And you know what He'll do? He'll do like the prodigal son. That old father, now this is in the Middle East, and the fathers never ran to the son. The older never ran to the younger. The younger always run to the older. That's a custom. But when this boy came home smelling like a pig, his father ran to meet him and threw his arms around him. That's God. And the wayward son drifted away and he takes him in his arms and he hugs him and he cleans him up and he gives him peace and fellowship and communion again. Oh, with that's the grace of God. You know something, friends? Of all the religions in the world, there's none of them. Only Christianity has grace. It's not found in any religions in the world. That ought to tell you something. Here's Carol Stream, Illinois. I'm a shut-in with Parkinson's disease. And I want you to know that your ministry is very encouraging to me. And then she says, P.S., I wish I had money to support you, but I'm on disability. I'm going to tell you this, you can pray for us, and that's the important thing. And if you don't have a penny to give, you pray for us. There's people that have money, and you pray, and they'll give. It'll be here. If God wants us to be on this service, if He wants this ministry to go on, He'll provide. and there'd be no problem. We've been at it almost 40 years, and we never missed a payment. And we're just because we're leaning on the Lord. And when he's done with our ministry, if he gets done with it, then it'll just dry up and we'll dry up. But if it's up for the Lord, he'll provide all we need and more. So thank you for your prayers. That's the big thing. Let's see here. Dunellen, Florida. Love your service this week about old people, about shut-ins. That is me since I am old and broke. Oh, here. I have no friends, no church, no pastor, no family, no neighbors. So I get awful lonesome. I don't even get phone calls. It is like everyone buried me alive. I'm disabled, so that doesn't help, but God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, will never leave me or forsake me and will love me unconditionally. And you understand, and don't forget to pray for us. And so we did pray for this person, but there's no name, no address. But that doesn't mean we can't pray for them. And I think it's a lady, I'm not sure. And anyway, just all over the world, just pray for this lady. Just, it's like everyone buried me alive. But she has this faith, she says, the Holy Spirit. But God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit will never leave me or forsake me and will love me unconditionally. And that's exactly right. He will never leave us or forsake us. God bless his name. Kingsley, Michigan, you and the Christian Worship Hour have been an immeasurable blessing in my life. I can't wait until Sunday morning comes so I can get churched up a little. I have several higher educational degrees, but they don't amount to a hill of beans. It's simply truths that lead us to God. Well, these degrees are all right and they have their place, but there's nothing that takes the place of knowing Jesus. And maybe you don't have any degrees, and maybe you don't even know how to read or write, but you got a precious soul, and Jesus prayed for you, and he bled for you and your soul, no matter what you know or you don't know. And you can just say, Jesus, I love you, and I ask you to come into my heart. And he wants to come in. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. One more. Havana, Cuba. I wish I could express in English all my feelings for your spiritual support, but you know that that is not my native language. However, receive these feelings in the language we both understand and share, the Word of God. God bless you, and thanks again for being our spiritual leader. Until next time, your brother in Christ. Now, I've heard from this brother before, and his wife is ill. And we need to pray for him and pray for her. That's in Havana, Cuba. And God, the Lord is as close to them as he is to us, the wonderful Holy Spirit. So our wonderful letters, we just thank you so much. But we hope that you'll write and help us with our work. And I'll tell you where to write to. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is so easy to remember. It's 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send us a gift, if God lays it on your heart, we'd appreciate that because we have to pay our way. We have to have our income. And so you just send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And I'm giving it again mostly because of our shortwave friends. They don't have a screen to listen to watch. But it's Box 2002, and it's in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you wonder about how your money is spent, let me tell you this. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization. They audit our books and they check it all out. And we are above board in everything on what we receive and how we give it out according to our budget. So it's sound as it can be. And then we have a little Bible study paper we put out called The New Song, The New Song. And this month, the month of September, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's a Bible study about Jesus. And you will love it, and you'll be blessed by it. And so you write to us, and we'll send it to you free and postpaid. Christian Worship Hour, all of you on shortwave, oh, I'd love to hear from more of you, hear from a lot of you, but oh, I'd like to hear from a lot more. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and you give as God lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Hebrews chapter 11 today, and for our persecuted church, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in China. And so we'll come to that, but first we'll read the scripture, then we'll have our prayer. Now, and beginning of Hebrews 11, beginning with the first verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For beyond before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for these examples of faith, people that had faith and moved mountains and did great and wonderful things. And Lord, as we think about prayer today, we know that we have to have faith, because without faith it's impossible to please you. And so we just pray that we will just take you at your word. Whatever you say, that we don't put a question mark. We put a period, not a question mark. And we just believe, and we take you at your word and we believe it, Lord. Help us to do that. And then, dear Lord, we're going to pray today for the dear people in China, the persecuted church in China. And we know there are a lot of them there, many Christian believers underground. And so just help them, and I know that you will. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to be a blessing to them. and help us to help them to know that we pray for them, we love them, and help them to know that they're a great example to us, a great encouragement to us, that we see their faith and it makes us look like our faith is nothing. And so we're strengthened when we see them stand up for you and then die for you if needs be. And may we be the same way in wherever we are. If we're not in a persecuted area, help us to have that same dedication. So, dear Jesus, bless this service. Use it to honor and glorify your dear Son. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Hank, good, faithful Hank, is here. He's going to sing, Jesus Paid It All. God bless you, Hank.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all.
Thank you, Hank, and what a message. Jesus paid it all. Don't try to work to get to heaven. You say, oh, I'm going to get to heaven. I'm a member of the church, or I've been baptized, or I'm circumcised, or I'm glorified, or God knows what you'll say. You'll never get to work. In Ephesians, we're told, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And Paul writes in Romans, he says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth. Now there's a place for works, but it comes after we accept Jesus. And if you're working to get saved, oh, God have mercy on your soul. God help you. You have to come one way. You have to admit, I'm a poor lost sinner. I'm going to go to hell. unless I call on Jesus, beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And he comes into my heart. I ask him into my heart and he washes away my sin and he puts a robe of righteousness upon me and he writes my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and I'm going to heaven and nobody can stop me. Now, I just pray that if you haven't made that prayer, you make it right now. Jesus, Jesus, I'm a poor sinner. I ask you to forgive me and I'll follow the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. And then you write and let us know. We'll give the address a little bit later. But we're going to talk about prayer today. And one of the greatest blessings that Christians enjoy is the privilege of prayer, an open door to the very presence of God. The writer of the Hebrews puts it this way, Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There you have it, as plain as day. It is the child of God who has access to the throne of God, those that have been born again. Who can pray? Well, the child of God has this privileges. That is somebody who has placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have taken him into their hearts and taken him in as their Savior. They have taken Christ into their lives. And if you've done that, you've been born again. You've been born from above. You've been regenerated. You've been saved. You've experienced the new birth. All of that takes place when you accept Jesus Christ, ask him into your heart and take away your sin. And when you do that, there's the prayer that you have to make if you're a sinner. The only prayer that he's going to hear is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Jesus' sake. That's what you do. You have to have Jesus. That's the password. Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say it was a good idea, but he says you must be born again. In John 1, verse 12, it says, as many as received him, received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You're not a child of God until you receive Jesus. John 1, verse 12, or John 3, 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. It's all you do with Jesus. Have you accepted Jesus? If you have, you can pray to the Father anytime you want to. If you have not, you have to make that initial prayer and become a child of God to have all of the blessings of God. You have to do that. Prayer then is God's child talking to the Father. And it is absolutely the wonderful, greatest challenge we can have. It's a wonderful privilege that we have. We can talk to God. A little old me here way out in South Dakota. You don't even know where South Dakota is. Half of South Dakotans don't know where they're at. But this way off somewhere, but he hears me because I can talk to him because I've been born again. I've asked Jesus into my heart. Who can pray? So then why do we pray anyway? Well, there are a lot of reasons, several reasons. Let me mention just a few. For first of all, it's a means of fellowship and communion with God, to be alone with God, to talk to God personally. What a privilege we have. And it's a relationship of a father and his child, a father and his son or his daughter. And we are talking, and we just do that when we talk to Jesus. And with the talking needs to come some listening, and we just listen for it if God lays something on our heart. You're not going to hear a voice from heaven, I don't think. I doubt unless the TV's on, you might hear a voice. But otherwise, it'd be just, but you just kind of know in your heart, I ought to do this, or I ought not do this. Or you'll know if you have Jesus in your heart, he'll show you the way. So prayer becomes the means of having a close fellowship with God. It's a two-way conversation. We talk to God and he talks to us. And then we pray because we have needs. We all are needy people. And so we come to God with our needs. And we have spiritual needs. We have material needs. We have emotional needs. We are a needy people. And so we go to the Heavenly Father like a little child goes to his father or her father and talks to him for their needs. And the writer of the Hebrews knew that we would have needs because he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Hebrews 4:16. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And if we are serious about living the Christian life in an unchristian world, we're going to have needs, and we're going to have a lot of needs because the world is fierce and the world is anti-God and the world's anti-Christ, and they're going to fight you every turn you make. Being a Christian isn't some Sunday school parade or dress parade. It isn't a picnic that you're going on and having a big time. It's a fight against Satan and all that is evil. And you need to stand up and quit you like men and follow Jesus Christ and fight Satan at every turn of the road and proclaim the good news of the gospel. We're swimming against the current. It's a struggle. It's a battle. And I want to tell you this. A dead fish can float downstream without any effort, but a live fish has got to fight as they go upstream, and there's too many dead fish going down to nowhere, to hell, the broad way that leads to destruction, and you need to have Jesus in your heart, and then you need to talk to him and work with him, and he will help you, and you can go against the tide and against this terrible the world that we live in. The world, friend of the world, is an enemy of God. And it's because the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He's the prince of this world with all of its wickedness. And so we need to have prayer. We need to talk to God and get strength. And then when the most important reason we pray is because God has told us to. He's told us to each of his children. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to witness about him. He wants us to communion with him. He wants us to ask for guidance. And you young people that are watching, you've got a lot of decisions to make. And they're big decisions going to affect all your life. You need some help. And you talk to your parents and talk to your pastor. Talk to Christian friends, but listen to God too, and you pray about it, and you'll just feel if that's good or that's not good. And if there's a red flag, you hold up and don't go with the crowd and don't go with the bang, because that's the broad road leads to destruction and the narrow road leads to life eternal. So walk that road with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And God's will is that we pray and that we talk with him freely. Jesus told us men ought always to pray and not to faint in Luke 18:1. And I think Jesus is telling us, listen, if you don't talk with me, if you don't pray, you're going to faint. You can't do it yourself. You can't make it by yourself. You can go with the crowd into a crisis eternity, but if you're going to mark that straight way and that right way, you're going to have the help of God Almighty. And he wants to do that. And so he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. How many today are discouraged and ready to give up because they have not kept an open prayer line with God and they lost their strength? That's happened to me more than once. And I go on my own strength and my own wisdom until I all of a sudden come to a bump that jolts me. And I says, I need to get back to God. I need to be listening to God and not going in my own wisdom, because I don't know enough to make it without God's help. Maybe you're discouraged today. Maybe you're downhearted. Maybe you feel like giving up. Well, then go to God in prayer. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Frank Graff has put it so well. He says, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song, and the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep dark shades? Does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong, For where mightiest grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the day long? Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? And then comes the chorus. Oh, yes, he cares. I know his cares. His heart is touched by my grief. When my days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. That's what God wants us to do. Come to be him and with thanks and praise. Come to him with troubles and trials. Come to him with heartaches and broken hearts and burdens. And when you do that, God will help you. And there's power in prayer. Alfred Lord Tennyson, the great poet, said, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." So, dear friend, pray, pray, and pray. So then they say, well, where do we pray? Do we have to go to church to pray? Do we have to get to the altar to pray? Do we have to be in some holy place to pray? But to say that is the only place to pray is to be misinformed, because God hears the prayers of his people wherever they are. There's all kinds of examples of prayer coming from every conceivable place on earth, showing us that we can go, the child of God can go to the throne of God. For instance, Jonah prayed from the belly of a giant fish. Hannah prayed, the mother of Samuel prayed in the temple. Daniel prayed with an open window toward east, showing to the east. Later, Daniel prayed in the lion's den, and God gave the lions, all of them, lockjaw, and they couldn't touch him. Paul prayed in prison. The thief prayed on the cross. Jesus prayed in the garden called Gethsemane. Peter prayed on a housetop. And have you heard about the cowboy that prayed? Well, this cowboy fell into a well, but the long toes on his boots caught the edge, and he didn't go plumb down, and he was hanging by his feet in the well, and he said that was the best prayer he ever prayed, hanging upside down by his boots in the well. It doesn't matter where you are, he'll listen to you. God is there, and the beautiful thing about prayer is we can go to God at prayer at any time or any place, and he is there. He never slumbers nor sleeps, and he's always there. And you see that wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And so they says, well, when do we pray? Well, if you're like some, you'll pray only when you're in trouble. We got a bunch like that. And they say, oh, we don't do that because we don't want to, God is busy and we don't need to spend time bothering God. If I get to something that's really big, I'll call on him. But you know what happens? You get so you don't even know how to talk to God. You can't even think of God. You don't even think about it. And you're going to have some calamity come on you and hit you in the face like a bucket of cold water. And you don't think prayer and you don't think God. You don't even think. You don't know what to think. But if you're a person of prayer, no matter what happens, you automatically turn to God. You know he's there. And you know that's where the help is. And you go to God in prayer. God tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And evidently, obviously, that doesn't mean we're to stay in the church or stay in the house and pray all day. It doesn't mean we ought to get to a monastery. But it simply means pray without ceasing means always be in an attitude of prayer. So that when you're called upon, you can pray. Be in an attitude of prayer. Be in tune with God. Be in communion with God. And at any moment, day or night, talking to him comes as easy as taking your breath. You just talk to him. And if you're like I am and you live alone, you can talk out loud. And that's just great. And I just think it's wonderful. And you got to be careful, though, if you get in the habit. And I get in the office and I'm talking to God out loud. They all run for the door. Scares them half to death, see. But you can pray and he's always there. And look at Daniel. He prayed and his attitude of prayer. He always did it. Well, in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. And he prayed and he gave thanks before his God as he did previously. That is, Daniel was in the habit of praying. It was his attitude. It just came to him as plain as day. And if he was in prison, he prayed. And if he was at home, he prayed. He just talked to God all the time. Daniel's custom was to pray that even 3 times a day. And it was a time to pray. And they're kneeling. Daniel was accustomed with him. David did the same thing. David talks about praying all the time. He says in Psalm 55 and verse 17 that he prays, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." The point is simply this: morning, noon, or night, pray to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something that I think works a lot, really good, and that is pray in the morning. That's the best time for me, pray in the morning. Because when you do that, you have all the day ahead of you and you're going to have guidance and help. It sets the tone for the day, but at least be in prayer. Now then you get back to this, how should we pray? And what is the prayer, what is the posture of the body? That is, should we get on our knees to pray? And I think it's a great thing to get on your knees. It's harder for me to do now, but there's just something beautiful about being on your knees. But it doesn't matter, because take a look at these people that prayed. Daniel knelt. Solomon stood. David lay prostrate on the ground. Jonah was doubled up in a fish's stomach. Moses was on Mount Sinai. There was thunder and lightning and smoke and shaking. The thief was on the cross when he prayed, and the cowboy hanging in the well by his heels, by his toes, was praying. Personally, I like to pray in the morning, and I hope that you do too. Have a time for prayer. And that wonderful prayer, we must pray in faith. And that's what our whole reading was, all these people. They believed God and they trusted God and they believed that they had that faith. And when we pray, if we doubt, you see, and that can come up on us, but it's an insult to God when we pray, but we don't believe. It's like the man, he came to his son. His son was in college. And he says, "Son, I know you're working hard and you got good grades. And I put $500 in the bank for you." And the boy says, "Dad, could I see the receipt? What is going on here?" And yet that's what we do. God says, "I'm going to do this." And they say, "Well, now, God, are you sure? What if this happens? And what if that happens?" And on you go, rattling on and making a noise. Just take God at his word. And sometimes I read the story. It was kind of a ridiculous thing. But sometimes we have faith, and sometimes you don't have all that much faith either. And I read this story. It was about people in a small town, and they were so happy because, unlike the other towns around them, they didn't have a liquor store in their town. And they were so happy about that. And then what has happened? But a nightclub guy came in and he built a nightclub right on Main Street, and they were sick about it. So the members of one of the churches was so distraught, he went to the other churches and he says, "Let's pray and let's get this thing out of here. We've got to do something." And so they held several all-night prayer meetings praying that God would burn down this evil place. And wouldn't you know it, short time later, during a storm, lightning struck the nightclub. It burned to the ground. And the church members were ecstatic. They praised God for the victory and the answer to their prayers. But the nightclub owner wasn't so happy. And knowing the church had prayed like that, that it burned down, he sued the church for damages. They prayed and it came and they burned him down. The congregation is petrified. What are we going to do? So they get a lawyer. They're going to fight the charges. And they said, "We had nothing to do with the lightning hitting this place. Nothing to do. And the judge, when he heard the case, he muttered, and this is what he said: "This is a strange case indeed. For on one hand, I see a tavern owner who believes in prayer. And on the other hand, I see a church who does not." Well, that's the way we are sometimes, friends. We're Christians and we say, oh, we believe God to the nth degree. And we're not going to worry about a thing. We believe God. But when it comes right down to it, I wonder how much our faith is there. And we have to be very careful, you see. Remember this. In Hebrews we're told, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if we pray not expecting an answer, well, that is exactly what's going to happen. We won't get an answer. Believe in all the almighty power of a God who loves us, a God who wants to help us, a God who watches over us, a God who has all wisdom. Pray to that God and believe. We must be submissive to the wonderful will of God and listen to his will and obey him and follow him. God has all the wisdom. He knows the future. We don't know the future. We don't know what a day will bring forth. We don't know how the things of today affect the eternity. And only God knows that. And so when we pray, we always pray, not my will, but thine be done. Always pray that. Ask God and believe that he can do it, but then say, dear Jesus, I want your will to be done, not mine. Because that's the way Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but if not, then it's all right. And he'll go to the cross. And that's the way we have to do. Submissive to God. And do it always with reverence. I hear these people talk about God as the man upstairs. I shudder. And what we need to do is like the psalmist said in Psalm 111 and verse 9. Holy and reverend is his name. And we must keep it that way. And so let us be sure we become acquainted with prayer and involved in prayer and people of prayer. And it's my prayer for you today outside of Christ. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have a connection, because it's all through Jesus, in Jesus' name. And you don't even know Jesus, and you don't have a right to use his name. And so you make that prayer of the penitent. Dear God in heaven, dear Jesus, forgive me. And he'll hear the prayer of the penitent. And the moment you make it, you become his child. And you can claim all the promises of God. And so I'm praying, we're all of us on the Christian Worship Hour, we're praying that if you don't know Jesus, not know about him, everybody knows about him, the devil knows about him, but you have to know him personally. And you say, I want to know him personally, but I don't know how. And I'll tell you how. It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And you say, how do you receive him? How do you receive anybody? If somebody knocks at your door, you open the door and you say, come in. That's what you do. Jesus is knocking at your heart's door now. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. He's knocking at your door. You say, well, I don't hear any knocks. Well, listen, there's something in you right now, in many of you, multitudes of you. And it says there's something like this. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I'm going to pray. And then there'll be something else will happen. Something will say, well, why don't you... Don't turn him down. Just say, you'll do it some other time. That's the devil, see. And he'll never tell you not to accept Jesus. He'll tell you to put it off. And he'll put it off all the way to hell. And so when that voice comes and there's a battle there, you say, I want Jesus. Jesus, save me. And then just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to take away my sins and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And if you do that, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, and we will send you literature. We'll get you started in the Christian life, and almost every day, Almost every day we get somebody will say, I want to Jesus, I'm accepting Jesus, and I want to know the way. And we'll send it free and postpaid, the Christian Worship Hour. All of you on shortwave, we want to send you literature too. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And also, don't forget, if God lays on your heart, you send us a gift. Because we have to have your help to carry on. And if we don't have your help, we just got to sign off. We don't want to do that. And I don't think God wants us to do it either. So you send a gift to that address, Christian Worship Hour. And now I'm going to pray for you. And dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the multitudes of people that have prayed to accept you into their heart right now. And I'm praying that you'll help them to write in so we can contact them. I'm praying for the young people, Lord. They're having their struggles. Give them guidance and direction because you love them. Praying for the persecuted church, wherever it might be in the world. Lord, I'm praying for the shut-ins, and I'm praying for the weary, and I'm praying for those who can't get out of bed, or can't get out of a wheelchair, and help them to know that you are with them, and you hurt with them, and you know how they are, and you're touched by our infirmities, and so bless them. And dear Lord, we just pray that you bless this ministry so that your name will be honored and you'll be pleased. That people will come to you, the Christians will be helped, the young people will be guided, and God will be glorified. We just thank you for the Christian Worship Hour ministry. Thank you for all who supported us and helped us. Thank you for those who are praying for us right now. Thank you that you've opened this door for us to tell the good news to all the world that Jesus saves, Jesus loves them. The Christian Worship Hour loves them. God loves them. And so we pray that through it all, their God will be honored. So we're looking forward now to next week. Maybe God will come before then. We don't know. But if he comes or if he takes us home, either way is just fine. He's in charge of it all. And we give it all in his name. We love him. He loves us. And we love each other. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.